The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 542, recorded on June 26th, 2019.
The 542nd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 375th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am TJ Dunzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
You know,
and includes Paul, because Paul's awesome.
Yay!
One year ago was the last time Paul was on the podcast, according to...
Oh my god, seriously?
Yeah, I think so.
There must not have been anything going on in the world of gaming for a whole year.
Well, last year was E3.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not going to talk about what we've been playing, but Paul, what was your takeaway from E3 this year?
Oh, a whole lot of nothing.
Nothing? Not even excited about? Not even excited about Breath of the World 2 or the other Zelda
stuff? We'll get there. Are we not getting there? Are we not going to get there in the... In the show news?
Well, here's the thing, Paul. Scott was talking about how you said that you wanted to see something that was like Super Mario Maker except with Zelda, and that's basically what's happening.
Delightful. I'll be excited when I see it in my house. You know me, I don't look up spoilers when I know I'm gonna buy something anyway.
True. I've tried to avoid most of the Link's Awakening videos. I saw just enough gameplay to know that I want the game, and not too much too much detail given away, because I want to be able to explore it without too much knowledge, foreknowledge.
And see, here's the thing: Link's Awakening came out when I was in the fifth grade. It was awesome because it was the first time you could take a Zelda adventure with you. I'm curious to see how well it's going to hold up after all this time.
Pretty well. I had some time with it when I was at E3.
TJ was able to go to E3. I didn't go to E3 for the first time since 2001. So.
Wow.
So when I played it, it followed the same beats, and like I felt like I was picking up a book that I hadn't read in like 15 years.
It was following the same beats. Were you playing Cadence of Hyrule?
No, I wasn't playing Cadence of Hyrule.
See, now that looks interesting.
It does.
That is. It is.
But like I said, it was like I picked up a book I hadn't read in a really long time, and it was like a warm, nostalgic feeling of like seeing these new things, like this new art for those things that I really enjoyed when I was younger.
Well, isn't that entirely the point?
Yeah, I mean, like,
kind of like Samus Returns, how they remade Metroid 2 from the Game Boy, and now we have Link's Awakening also being remade. I think it's great.
See, I'm concerned about this whole let's remake everything trend. It's just kind of reeking of like stale game making and lack of innovation in our industry.
Well, they're putting some innovation in this Link's Awakening by giving you a dungeon making mode where you can unlock rooms and then put together your own dungeon. So at least that part's different. Wait, and I know,
Paul, I remember you having misgivings about Super Mario Maker because it was basically putting all the construction in the hands of people who, you know, and not enough in the developers.
Yeah, I still don't particularly care for Super Mario Maker all that much. Mostly because it's like, hey, now everybody can be a game designer. And it's like, you're selling people a false promise. It's not really what you're providing them. You're providing them a bunch of tools that they could mash together in a nearly infinite number of ways. But it's still finite. You know, there's only so many dynamics you can put together with those pieces. And so I just kind of feel like it's ripping people off. And There is an amount of innate talent that goes into being a designer, right? There's a lot of training, there's a lot of hard work, there's a lot of practice. But just like with, you know, any other artist, like a violinist, for example, You know, there is just that extra spark that separates someone who can play the violin and a Carnegie Hall-worthy performer.
That's well, sure, but put together really good levels in those in the Mario Maker series, and I think it's no different from StarCraft or Civilization or any other game that allows you to have a map making mode.
Yeah, right. and trust me, I love those things. Right, those are great tools for people who want to develop a design sensibility to play around with and see if that's really for them. Because level design is its own discipline. Mm-hmm. It just bothers me when it's not really the fantasy that we're selling. It almost feels like whenever Peter Molyneux says, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
That's just not true.
That's a good point. There is a single-player mode in this Mario Maker 2, so that there's that. So Nintendo will at least give you, I guess, 100 levels or something like that, I heard one report say. So there's a lot to do in this. Maybe not everything, but seems like there's a lot.
I think from a creational standpoint, they are giving you enough of a toolbox to make not like anything you can imagine, but certainly like be creative, do like make a gimmick that somebody else hasn't thought of yet with the tools that you have at your disposal. I agree with you that it's like, there's a difference between someone that's like can strum a few chords on a violin versus someone at Carnegie Hall. But isn't that sort of the point, is that you give them that give all people this violin and see who can figure out what they can do with it?
I guess from that perspective, it's fair.
Or they can just go to Paul's class and learn.
No, you don't want to go to my class. I'll tell you how you all suck and that you should leave. Oh, it's so funny because my students will never find this. No, I love my students. They're all brilliant.
You know, this is why I didn't want to.
The hateful me that appears on this program is not actually the hateful me that exists outside this program. It's a character. I'm doing a bit.
Two different brands of hateful Novak.
Exactly. Two different brands of hateful Novak.
Yeah, I'm glad we did this instead of what you've been playing. This is probably far more interesting than I was droning on. What we've been playing, especially since what I've been playing is whatever.
I am just now rebooting up the Breath of the Wild to see what I've missed in the last like 12 months.
By the way, I did. I'm actually doing a what have I been playing, but I actually finally got to play What Remains of Edith Finch, TJ.
Yeah?
And yeah, it's the best snuff game you'll ever play.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
All you do is
it's
just
wonderful.
Kill every single character. So, yeah, every single character dies.
I mean, you don't kill them, but you unravel their demise.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know, the main point of the game is everybody dies. That's basically it. And it's, you know, for those who haven't played the game, it might sound depressing, but it really never comes off as all that depressing.
That's life, though. Everybody does die.
I know, but here's the thing. When, say, I'm on the kid on the swing, I know he's going to die. I know how he's going to die. But the game is forcing me to help him die, you know? So it's sort of like...
Well, that's morbid.
Yeah, but
it's also
which one of us is the hateful bitch now, Jonah?
Yeah, but it's also adventurous and whimsical and told through a much more creative eye than what Jonah is giving it.
So here's the thing. The entire game is based around this curse in which everybody's doomed to die in some one way or another, you know, before their time. Well, except for Edie, who is the grandmother who it's implied she committed suicide because her family left her and she was all alone and she didn't want to, you know. I think the most telling one is the story about the guy who decided to lock himself underground for 30 years, eating the same shit over and over and over again.
Well, it must have gotten stale.
No, yeah. He has canned food. He had canned food. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I get it. Anyways, but he decides he's going to go out, and he digs his way out, and then he gets hit by a train because he, you know. And the point of it, I think that was the most important death, the most important quote-unquote death in the thing, because it's sort of like saying, you know, you can ruin your life hiding from being, you know, from enjoying yourself, and you're just going to have a really bad, boring life listening to your radio, and that's it, because sooner or later, it's going to get you. you know. And I think that was the key death of the entire thing. I also like the one about the kid who never dies. He just disappears, and it's a flip book. And from what I understand, it's actually a character from a different game by the same developers. So, But the thing is that the best part of the game, I think, was the music. The music really sells it. And what could be a depressing, you know, that dragon cancer type game, you know, actually becomes a lot more fantastic. Although I will say, you know, the baby death with the who accidentally drowned himself.
Baby death. Baby death. Sorry.
Drowned himself, and it sort of reminded me a little bit of that dragon cancer in that the main character Edith is wondering, you know, was speculating. And here's the thing about it, by the way, all of this is unreliable narrator. You know, we don't know what really happened. These are all interpretations. And she interprets that, you know, no one knew what the kid was thinking, but she preferred to think that he always was having fun and always had an imagination. And even his dying was part of his imagination, because all of his bath toys become alive, you know, and they follow him into the light, sort of thing.
So. Somebody's got to get that kid better toys if that's what he's doing in the bath. Jesus Christ.
Well, his mother was distracted from him, and he accidentally drowned. So,
Blame the parents. I blame the parents.
Well, it's not the one-year-old's fault.
Exactly. I blame the parents.
How convenient that they just, like, are like, it's a curse. It's a curse that caused the baby to drown.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that we don't know if it's actually a curse or a self-fulfilling prophecy or just people. Cause, like I said, everybody dies. It's not a curse. If you die, you know, there's some strange ways that these people die, like, this guy has a Polaroid being taken with a deer, and the deer was never actually dead, and he pushes him off the cliff just as the photo was taken with his daughter.
What was he doing with the dead deer?
Well, he was posing for a picture with his daughter. Because,
oh, that's even worse, bro. You're not helping.
Anyways, the reason why I got it is because I have Xbox Pass Ultimate, and I saw what remains of Edith Finch, and I decided, yeah, why not? It's like Gone Home. It's a walking simulator, you know. There's no real game. There's just discovering stuff, you know.
Oh, let's not get into pedantic conversations about what is a game.
No, it's a game. You know, it's an interactive medium, you know. I mean, there is no – it's like you do some small stuff, but it's basically puzzles. And part of the quote-unquote game is finding all the peepholes, and I know – Paul's just tittered at that one. The peepholes and the diaries and all that stuff, you know, to get, but that's not even necessary. That's just for 100% completion bullshit.
That's just a Saturday.
Yeah. Like I said, at least it wasn't that dragon cancer.
Dragon cancer, doop, 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 dragon cancer, doop, doop.
Do you know that game, Paul? About dragon cancer?
No, I don't know about dragon cancer.
Okay, it's about this couple who were actually developers, and they made an entire game around their 2-year-old. How old was he, TJ? 2, 3?
Yeah.
Anyway, they had their infant died from cancer, and they did an entire game wrapped around that. And it is one of the most depressing games you'll ever play.
It's a journey. It's a journey through, like, the depression and the hope and the sadness and the eventual loss.
Did you get the feeling that this was therapy for them, TJ?
Absolutely. It was also sharing with a lot of other people that have been through that. Like, there's specifically an entire room in that game dedicated to other people that had lost their own and supported this game and sent their own messages about fighting cancer or what you go through when you're fighting cancer.
Yeah. Anyways, let's go to game news, and we'll talk about other depressing stuff. And, you know, it's actually fortunate that you're here, Paul, because you could also – you know, say your own too, since you are part of the game development world. The first news item is:
Are we going to cover the supposed news about Breath of the Wild 2? I didn't take a look at the notes yet.
No, we're not.
Okay, I just want to point out for everybody out there that the fact that there is going to be another Zelda game is not fucking news. We should not be losing our shit over this. It has been Nintendo's tentpole flagship for 30 fucking years.
Well, here's the
thing. Of course there's another Zelda in the works already.
Damn it. And, you know, there's just so many properties that, you know, I mean, Splatoon, they made a Splatoon 2, basically a port of the Wii version, you know. But yeah, of course there was going to be a Breath of the Wild 2. Anybody who didn't think there was going to be a Breath of the Wild 2.
Right, but this is not news. We should be expecting more from our E3 presentations as consumers.
Let me step in here and tell you why it is news.
Okay.
And it's for one very specific reason.
You're allowed to be wrong, but okay.
It is news. The Breath of the Wild game and the Zelda game is not news. Thirst Ganon and Crispy Ganon are news, and I know this because a very large portion of what I like to call horny Twitter has been informing me of it for the last 2 weeks.
Thirsty Ganon, huh?
That's funny. That's fun.
Sounds like somebody got some new bath toys.
Thirst Ganon and Crispy Ganon.
What the hell is crispy even slang for?
Mummified. What?
Crispy means in this context, I'm pretty sure it means you're stoned.
He looks kind of mummified. I don't know.
Waka waka.
Nah, he's just straight up very, very dry.
Yeah, mummification.
Well, let me ask you a question then. This is for Paul and Scott. What do you think of the announcement of Luigi's Mansion 3 then?
Slightly more interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, they showed some interesting mechanics. They showed gameplay. They showed.
Yep.
Yeah, they showed you why you would want to play this game.
You know, the thing about Luigi is that he's more interesting than Mario because they can't do anything with Mario. Mario has to be Mario. They can give Luigi an actual personality, an actual fear, an actual, you know, emotions. Mario's not allowed to have those. He has four emotions, Mario. Well, Luigi's allowed to be a buffoon if they want him to be a buffoon.
I miss the days when Link was a creeper. Am I the only one who remembers that?
I don't remember him being a creeper.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. Watch the Zelda cartoon. He is a...
and the cartoon.
No, first of all, the horror that we shall not speak of, you shall no longer utter in my presence.
But,
Jonah.
Paul, what about this catchphrase, you know, the one that begins...
No. We're not talking about the licensed product of Philips. That is wrong.
We are, however, talking about the cartoon or that other thing. Yeah.
You know, in his catchphrase, you know what I mean?
We are, however, talking about the cartoon, and dude... Oh my God, there is sexual harassment rampant in that cartoon. I show it in class on a monthly basis. And he's like, the first time we see Zelda, Link is making a comment about her tits.
Well,
I basically hated the cartoon interpretation of all those characters.
Well, here's the thing, you know, Link...
I loved it.
Here's the thing. Link always wants a kiss from Zelda. That's all he wants. And the second that they have a crossover with Captain N, she gives Captain N a kiss. And I can just think of what Link must be thinking. You just met this guy for the first time. You know nothing about him. You're giving him a kiss and not me a kiss?
He's not entitled.
Link feeds on hearts. I'm just going to put that out there. So, like,
exactly. He needs love. Or he'll die.
Oh, I mean, like, he's a vampire. He feeds on blood and the beating hearts of his enemies.
You know,
well, that got dark quickly.
Everybody was talking about
Jesus
Cyberpunk.
Christ.
Everybody was talking about Cyberpunk 2077. I much more care about Bloodlines 2 and a story period.
I'm more interested in seeing Luigi's Mansion 3 than I am Breath of the Wild 2.
I mean,
don't get me wrong. Of course, Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be an amazing game. It's going to be, you know, the exact same engine, many of the same artists. It's going to be wonderful.
But you want a protagonist?
It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot more of the same.
Right. I agree. I would agree with that. Like, I'm less excited about the prospect of Breath of the Wild 2 than I was about Breath of the Wild 1, because Breath of the Wild 1 was like crazy. It was outlandish. It was interesting. Breath of the Wild 2 is just more Breath of the Wild 1.
Well, no, I mean,
and that's fair.
We don't know that
yet,
though. All we saw was a trailer, so we really don't know what to expect. We can make speculation, but there's just nothing. I think that's Paul's point. We don't really have anything.
How about this? It's not going to happen, but wouldn't it be interesting if they did... I think it's Majora's Mask, in which Breath of the Wild 2 is basically a time loop, and you have to do certain things within that time loop before it starts over again.
That would be amazeballs.
That's sort of like what The Outer Wilds does. You know, you have so much you can do before the sun goes nova, and then you have to enter the time loop again. You know, so,
I would much rather have Breath of the Wild 2 be like Zelda 2, where it's a side-scrolling adventure where NPCs give you advice that makes no fucking sense.
I do.
Oh my god, are you error or am I error?
I would love it.
I hope they do something different, and I know one speculation has been that Zelda would take a more active role and maybe even be able to co-op or, you know, just be more active.
And this is why I think it's important for us to remember that Zelda cartoon, because quite frankly, it was decades ahead of its time in that particular respect. Zelda was right there in the heart of the action in every episode, fighting right alongside Link. And we have not gotten that same empowered Zelda that we got in that cartoon.
Well, in Captain N, well, Game Master, you had an empowered Game
Master. She was Sheik in Ocarina of Time.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
She also carries around a shotgun in the Mario Raving Rabbids game.
Oh, okay.
and who doesn't want to take a shotgun to Rabbids anyway?
You get to play as Zelda in Cadence of Hyrule, so that's at least something.
I'm curious to see if I will enjoy Cadence of Hyrule. It looks like the one property spinoff that I might be interested in.
You know, this conversation is totally dominating the news, and I actually like that. I just swapped around the news so that we have the lighter news next, you know.
That's because my opinion is always more important than the news.
Well, we have a time limit here, so it's sort of like, you know.
Okay, fine. Spoil sport.
I put it in order of importance now so that, you know.
Okay.
Because if we're going to discuss all this stuff, then we might as well discuss Paul's other obsession. So the first news in the game item is Final Fantasy VII Remastered will get... I'm sorry, 8. I thought that was... No, it's 7. It's 8. Final Fantasy VIII Remastered PC will get exclusive features. And this comes to us from Game Watcher. Now it's a little less interesting because I thought it was going to be Final Fantasy VII Remastered, which is coming to PC. But...
That's mighty wide of them.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VIII Remastered is shaping up like the definitive version of the game to play, but it just so happens that the PC version is getting some exclusive functionality. These PC exclusive options sound like a real boon, and we're fairly excited to see what it'll do for the game. While the remaster will grace all versions of the game with triple speed, battle enhancement, max HP, etc., and no random encounters options, the PC build will get lots more too. Slated for release via Steam sometime this year, the PC version of Final Fantasy VIII Remastered will also net the following options. Acquire all items, abilities, special moves, and triple triad cards, max GF level, max skill, max magic, and highly customizable system settings. So, let me ask you a question, Paul. I know you love Final Fantasy VII. Where does Final Fantasy VIII rank?
Garbage.
Really?
I can understand that, definitely.
Well, for the uninitiated, why?
Because really, one should skip 8 and 9 and jump right to 10.
Oh my god, what's wrong with you?
See, here's the thing.
Send me your hate.
I was being real quiet until you got to nine.
Down on that before. Now at least you have someone who's more experienced in Final Fantasy to explain why that is.
I was being real quiet and real polite, and then you said nine in the same sentence as 8, and then I couldn't take it no more.
Not so much about 9 bashing as much as 10 is, awful. In my opinion, the epitome of the series.
Oh, god.
I have to disagree there, Paul. I'm sorry.
And that's fair. You're allowed to be wrong.
I feel like 10 is this really pretty looking thing, but it's incredibly shallow. That's how I feel about that.
I'm so ready to call to make say, oh, just like Paul. But I know he's not shallow.
He's very at least not today. I'm not.
I'm just going to point out that the tragedy that is Final Fantasy XIII is an extension of what X did, where you basically walk down a hallway and have story.
See, that's the problem. Final Fantasy XIII is basically my introduction to the series. And by the way, it isn't just the hallway, TJ. It's the fact that your feet go clop, clop, clop like a horse when you're running down that hallway. It's like, what kind of shoes was she wearing? Was she wearing those Dutch wooden shoes?
Right, and in Final Fantasy X, the version of the clop 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 is having to listen to Tidus's fucking voice.
Yeah, and that laughing scene where they're like, "Let's try to laugh and make it look as awkward as possible," and the blitzball that I didn't care about at all. I made him lose. It was very satisfying to see the disappointment on Waka's face.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about flaming train wrecks, then, like, why don't we just jump to Kingdom Hearts 3?
Aha! So that's the question I had to ask you, what your opinion of Kingdom Hearts 3 was.
Okay. we were gonna get it there at some point, then it might as well be now. The best way I can describe...
I don't think there's going to be much news in this podcast. We're going to be
here... No, of course not, because we're all just here for me anyway. The best way that I can describe Kingdom Hearts 3, it's as if you went to a buffet-style restaurant and all they served you was every conceivable flavor of ice cream. Like, yes, it's delightful. I'm very glad you had each and every flavor of ice cream. They're all delicious. High fat content, low fat content, sorbet, sorbetto, gelato. You got everything. The problem is you invited me here for fucking dinner. Where's the goddamn meat and potatoes?
I gotta agree with that. That has been my problem with Kingdom Hearts to begin with. It just feels like they're saying, hey, look, we can bring Sora with Frozen and with Lion King and then with this and with that and
then that. I think what Paul is saying is that there are
no measures in the first game. And I'm even okay with that. Right? Because I'm a fan of the franchise as a whole. I'm even okay with that because, you know, you are tying into that fantasy that many kids have about, you know, rocking it with their favorite Disney heroes. But you've taken away all of the meaningful choice in the games that you can make in the game when it comes to it's just finisher on top of finisher on top of finisher on top of finisher. There's no point in mastering, you know, the basic hit combo. There's no point in running around gathering ingredients for anything because anything that you can synthesize is useless because you have an army of finishers that you could whip out at any time. Yes, they're gorgeous. Yes, some of them made me laugh and smile. Ultimately, I felt like I was not making any meaningful choices.
Did you like the mini games with Winnie the Pooh and Ratatouille, though?
They were okay. I mean, I needed a break from, you know, all that ice cream.
So,
what you're saying, Paul, is the game gave you brain freeze.
It did. It gave me brain freeze of the soul, and now I'm hateful.
So you're talking mostly gameplay.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about the plot, too, though.
Well, I mean, but that's par for the course for the Kingdom Hearts series, is that the plot is, like, insane and stupid to follow.
Wait, here's the thing, though. You complain that the plot from 1 to 2 was basically just rehashing the same plot. Did it do that for 3 as well?
Yes and no. When it didn't, it should have, and when it did, it didn't have to.
Remember when that trailer came out, it looked confusing and convoluted and had no idea what was going on, and was kind of hoping Paul would explain.
I mean, ultimately, it feels like some idiot made the decision to license the Unreal Engine, and so rather than coming up with, I don't know, anything worth playing, they just decided to copy the code base from every other game made in the Unreal Engine, which is why the Toy Story world is a mech fighter zone, and the Pirates world is just, you know, running around on a sailing ship as if you were playing Wind Waker, and the Gummy Ship is now, you know, just any other 3D space game. The whole thing was really boring.
Are you talking about the gummy bears?
No.
No. I know, right? That would have been interesting.
I mean, I liked that cartoon. I may have been in my, you know, late teens and early 20s, but I actually found that cartoon charming.
Teens were in their late teens, Jonah. Who are you kidding?
If they had licensed the Gummy Bear song for Kingdom Hearts 3, it would have been a top 10 classic.
Actually, of course. You know what? Here's the thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, the Gummy Bears song, Gummy Bears, that sounds like an anime theme, doesn't it?
Anime themes lately have been very – a lot of guitar and heavy metal sounding.
Yeah, but it was a very 90s theme.
Yeah.
Which is really funny because it came out in, like, 1982.
I know, but, like, when I think of the cartoons that were happening in the 90s, it was – like, Gummy Bears was way ahead of its time.
Gummy Bears was really way ahead of its time. We studied it in my class.
Yeah, and the thing is that it actually came out before DuckTales, before they actually exploded, and they still had the classic Disney animation, you know, that expensive animation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
that's totally a thing. Okay, so yeah, we've covered most of the important topics. Now let's get to the news.
Right. So Kingdom Hearts 3 story.
What? No,
Kingdom. Well, I was just gonna say. So final verdict on Kingdom Hearts 3 story. A bit worse than Final Fantasy 8.
Oh my god, yeah. So only the first, like, I don't know, 5 hours of Kingdom Hearts 3 is worth playing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Paul, when you were playing, when did you realize, oh god, the story's not capturing me?
I mean, I had a problem when I even had heard about what worlds they had selected.
Okay.
Toy Story, don't care. Monsters, Inc., not a fan.
But here's the problem as well. Toy Story, Inside Out, Pirates of the Caribbean, they all take place in our world. You know?
I was less bothered by that than the fact that, like, hey, let's use Toy Story as an excuse to have, you know, Battlefront mech fighter game. Because that's exactly what everybody thinks about when they think Toy Story.
Do you think Disney pressured them to put everything in there? I mean, like, the developer may have said, well, we want to use this and this, and Disney said, no, you also have to use this, and this. And oh, by the way, this is hot, so put that in there too.
Yeah, totally possible. I mean, it sounds like a convoluted mess at this point. I mean, that was my initial impression, and you haven't said anything that has dissuaded me from that impression.
Well, to be fair, it's kind of falls into the same category that Avengers Endgame does, in that this is supposed to be like the end of a chapter of the story, not like the end of their entire intellectual property. Clearly, the game made shit tons of money, and there's going to be another one. And it's kind of like, let's wrap up the 15 storylines that we started and at least try to give everybody some emotional fulfillment to each of their favorite Kingdom Hearts characters that we introduced just for this saga, right? We find out what happened to Sora and Roxas and Aqua and Terra and, you know, old Master Xehanort and all of these people that have come and gone in the series as original characters. And a lot of them had really satisfying conclusions emotionally. And I'm glad that we've now cut down on the number of people that we care about so that we can get back to a really simple story like we had in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Okay. Yes. Let's move
on. I'm glad Aqua has been saved from the darkness. Good for her. I'm glad Sora and Roxas and Vanitas, like, worked out their little three-way orgy, and now we can get on to the next person.
I'm already tired. An orgy?
I want to play this game now.
There are websites.
There are...
Yeah, Rule 34 is the thing.
Just go to DeviantArt. I'm pretty sure you find it.
Disney After Dark.
Let's move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
NBA 2K19 fans are unhappy at an increase in the number of endgame unskippable ads from Eurogamer. Unhappy NBA 2K19 fans are complaining that unskippable ads have popped up via loading screens in the basketball sim across most platforms. Whilst loading advertisements in the NBA 2K franchise aren't new, the sudden flood of irate messages across Reddit and social media concerning 2K19 intimates either... I was like staring at that. 2K19 intimates either... a bug or an upswing in the number of advertisements playing. My game got to 100%, and then instead of letting me edit my matchups, which you can normally do while the game loads, or letting me go straight into the game, I had to sit there and finish the ad, said one commenter. Absolutely pathetic from 2K again. What does it change if the ad is unskippable anyways? Why are they there at all? Asked another. There should be zero ads in a game that comes out yearly and costs $60, opined someone else. If you found the adverts troublesome, Reddit mod YYY2K reminded players that they can turn off 2KTV in the main menu settings. 2KTV is over for the season anyways, and if you want to watch it for the VC, you can. You can always go directly to its section in the game, they said. However, people tested this, and despite deselecting 2KTV in the menu, a loading screen ad still rolled nonetheless.
That is just disgusting. I hate ads in video games. They shouldn't exist in there at all.
Well, here's the thing. I don't mind product placement, you know, and in a sports game, you know, having the name, you know, having real life ads on the side, you know, as part of the billboards and all, that's fine. I don't care because that's in real life. But to have your game interrupted by an ad and you can't skip through it, you just have to stare at it, you know. And one guy said, you know, you already paid $60 for it. And that's not even talking about virtual currency in the friggin' game. That's why I don't play 2K anymore, NBA 2K. Because unless you purchase unless you purchase currency, the game's unrealistic and it's just a waste. It's just not very fun to play. And the worst part is that EA's basketball game sucks and there's nothing out there for me. There's no choice. I just say, forget, I'm not even going to bother buying.
The irony of this is that if you go to Eurogamer and you have an ad blocker on, it'll totally pull up a thing on the screen that tells you to turn it off and not let you log through the article until you do.
Well, that's
I don't like websites that do that either.
That's financing the site. I mean, sites want you to whitelist them. I mean, and you're not paying for Eurogamer. Eurogamer costs $0. I mean, here's the thing. I watch ads in my mobile games to get free coin, you know, free elite currency because, you know, I want to get the elite currency, but I didn't pay for the game itself. That's fine.
Right.
And it's optional.
I blame Facebook and social gaming in general. We've trained the player base to expect a shit ton of content for free without reminding them that, oh, yeah, people do this for a living. They need to keep a roof over their head and food on their table. They deserve to be paid.
But they're not paying.
And we can't pay them. We can't pay them if we've trained everybody to expect 80% of our product for free.
But it's not. It's not. It isn't free though. NBA 2K19. It costs $60.
Right. But the trend started on social and mobile games, and so now people are accustomed to, and the same thing is true of Breath of the Wild. People are accustomed to getting a huge amount of value and content up front. And at least Nintendo was a little smarter about it, realizing that, you know, there's going to be a dedicated Zelda fan base converting about, I don't know, 40% or so of people who are going to buy DLC no matter what. People who are going to buy amiibos no matter what. And comparatively, that content is a lot cheaper to produce because the game engine has already been made and not the expenses of which haven't been recouped by all the people who paid $60 for the game.
I would prefer DLC stuff like Path of Exiles is a free-to-play game, but you can buy all this cosmetic stuff or buy extra tabs for your storage, but you still get to play this game and you don't have to see ads. I'd rather have DLC than ads.
You know, Team Fortress 2 is the one that invented that. That was the first major game. When Team Fortress 2 went free to play, it's like, well, how are they going to finance it? Well, people are buying in-game stuff, you know, in-game cosmetic stuff anyway, even though they paid for it. So if we give it away for free, they did numbers that, hey, we're going to make just as much money, maybe even more, because more people will be playing it because it's free. So you can thank Team Fortress 2 for that. And also,
yeah, I think game makers are trying different ways to solve this same problem. And clearly the basketball game has not done a good job of it.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, I really cannot stand the whining of people about loot boxes, because here's the thing. One, would you imagine if they decided to call them booster packs instead? Because
you're breaking up, Jonah.
Imagine if they decided to call booster packs instead, because I remember people have no problem buying Yu-Gi-Oh! Booster packs and Magic the Gatherer booster packs and all these other CCG booster packs. They never whined about it, ever.
Microtransactions is such a dirty word nowadays, and like it's to the point where like you got folks like Randy Pitchford who will throw a bitch fit if you say that that microtransactions are in Borderlands 3, despite the fact that there are definitely going to be microtransactions in Borderlands 3. I mean, it's cosmetics, but it's still microtransactions.
Here's the thing. You know, Halo 5 has, rec packs, right? And you can buy them with money. But I can earn to get a gold rec pack, which is the best rec pack that's available, by playing maybe 4 or 5 games and earn enough in-game currency to buy them. I have never paid with money for one rec pack. You know? And no one ever complained about the Plants vs. Zombies 2 things. The things that, here's the thing that rec packs that are, I mean, booster packs that are done right is you allow people to earn them by playing. You know, not that they're easy to get, but not grinding like you have to work 2 weeks to get it. No, you know, a normal big session that you can do over the course of like 4 or 5 hours, people accept that. Especially if, you know, you give them enough that the stuff you get for the booster pack actually helps you. You know? I mean, there's a way to do it right. So, well, yeah, I can understand some...
And at least at that point, it just becomes a balance issue.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why some people might bitch about it, like people bitched about it in other games. You know, I mean, initially, if I remember, it was a long grind in Rainbow Six Siege, wasn't it, TJ? Earn other new operators?
It is still, but you can buy your way to those operators, or if you just play on a regular basis, it takes about, I would say, 10 to 15 hours to unlock an operator.
That's nothing. That's a couple of days.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is that, like, if you play all the time, then you'll probably unlock those operators just by way of playing. The buying route is for people that just like want to have that haven't been on since the beginning and just want to have the full game in one go.
But here's the thing, you know, it's really, and I'm so shocked that Halo 5 does it, because their rec packs actually have competitive items in them. And I think they do it right by, one, you'll always have something really, really neat in one. You know, you'll always have one at least ultra rare. And two, you can get them just by playing fast enough, you know. And I don't know, there's some games that just are simply, here, you know, take my money. I mean, a lot of MMOs, Aeon? Or Black Desert Online, people were up in arms about that, because that was definitely play to win. And in order to do anything, you had to pay money, right?
Mm-hmm.
A good game will never make you feel like, I better pay money or else I'm going to lose.
Right. Like, even in Rainbow Six Siege, the only thing that you have to pay money for is, like, trinkets, cosmetics, skins, stuff that you can put on your gun or your operative. But, like, it's not stuff that you need to play the game.
And if you're going to legislate it, here's the thing. If you're going to legislate this, you're opening yourself up for worse shit. And one thing I hate is that gamers aren't very knowledgeable about law. And one law will allow people to do some really bad shit because you don't want to pay $2.99 for something or think you have to. It just bothers me, you know. Before you complain about something, learn about it.
Or, I mean,
and oh, by the way, it's not gambling. It's not, because here's the definition of gambling. When you win something in gambling, you can trade it back in for cash from the people. You're never going to see cash from people when you get a booster pack.
Yeah, and I think they've had this debate before. It had to do with pinball. They tried to label pinball as gambling at one point, but at the same time, but like the case was shut down by the fact that there is a modicum of skill that determines the outcome of pinball. It's not a random game.
And also, you're not getting anything monetarily. It's like, you know, best you can say it's a raffle. Or a lottery, you know. What I do want, Cooking Dash does this, which I like, is that what they should do is allow you to see the percentages of what you're going to get if you open up that booster pack. So that at least you know the percentages, so that you're not expecting something really, 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 really good when it's a 0.001% chance of you getting it.
Yeah, and you know what, to your credit, the same thing is printed on the back of Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic packs, that, you know, you are going to get 9 shit cards, and one card will either be rare, ultra-rare, super ultra-mega-dick-rare, or whatever.
I haven't seen them, they must have just added them, but yeah.
But at least it told you that you were going to get 9 shit cards.
Yeah, and
right. And I think that's what a lot of people's problem has been, or that's what the argument has been, is that companies like Overwatch don't make the percentage chances of their loot boxes containing something rare readily available.
Yeah.
It was only when China, like, I do believe that there was a case in China about a year ago where they actually tried to force Blizzard into making those percentages openly available, or they would shut down use of the game in China.
Yeah, and that's a little extreme.
It is, but at the same time, like, when you don't offer those percentages, it's a little bit more unfair when you don't know what you're getting into. Yes. I'm not saying that I like the idea. Like, okay, as a person who plays games and writes about games on a regular basis and has played my share of gambling, I do not want gambling regulations in video games, because that is a slippery slope to bad times.
Oh, absolutely.
But to an extent, a gambling level regulation in video games would be a terrible thing. But on the other hand, video game companies have to be more forthcoming, and they have to meet things halfway and make reasonable decisions. Because if they don't regulate themselves, somebody else will, and that is not what anyone wants.
You know, the problem I have is that it also depends on the company. It's like, if Electronic Arts does it, no matter what they do, it's Electronic Arts, and then they're going to go play their fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! And spend tons of $50 on booster packs. Or, you know, they're going to play Halo 5 and not care if they're doing in-game currency on booster packs and all that stuff. So, you know, here's the thing, and we're going to have to admit this. Gamers tend to be entitled pieces of shit, for the most part, who are under the age of 18 and not...
Don't sugarcoat it, Jonah. Tell us how you really feel.
And don't have any real-life experience, you know, and they don't know what it's like to really get fucked over. If they think they're getting fucked over in a video game, let me tell you something. It's an expensive hobby. Get money. Because when you grow older, you're going to learn ways that you're going to get fucked over that make playing video games seem like nothing. You know, at some point, I know this, you know, and everybody else, for a lot of people who don't have, you know, video games are actually video work, or they take them way too seriously. It's when they become adults and they start running the video games for refuge rather than something they want to do because they're competitive. You know, and I know I'm not talking about competitive the way you think of competitive, TJ, like going into tournaments and all that stuff. But, you know, when video games are serious business, you know, and people give a shit about doing raids in an MMO, when they finally get to the point in which it's no when you're actually having fun and you don't care if you win or lose, that's when you've graduated to being an adult.
I'm not sure how much I agree with that statement, Jonah.
Here's the thing.
A different thing. Look at every other product available for purchase in a modern consumerist society. There was no legislation against marijuana until there was a public outcry that said, we want national legislation against this product. We feel taken advantage of. We feel there's a health risk. We feel, you know, whatever. And to the other point earlier, much like the film industry has set up an entire self-policing thing, which on a tangent is complete bullshit, but whatever. They are making an effort to be self-policing. If we as an industry of game makers aren't forthcoming in making sure that we at the very least maintain an image of protecting our user base from anything that might be exploitative, then we're going to have that legislation foisted upon us.
Right. By the way, anybody who's interested, go see the documentary This Film Has Not Yet Been Rated.
That still makes me so angry. The whole thing just makes me angry. I mean, the thing that makes me angry is the fact that it's true.
Yeah. So anyways, you misinterpret me. I'm just saying there are some entitled shits out there.
There are some entitled shits, but there are also some companies that use practices that are probably a little bit more predatory than not.
Companies prey on those entitled shits in their personalities.
Right.
Here's the thing. I have no sympathy for straight white male gamers. None. Just, I don't care. I don't care about your problems because you don't have any problems. Shut up. I don't care. You can call me anything you like. I don't give a shit. You know, I don't care about what you think, say, or do until you're over the age of 30. Then I'll start paying attention. You know, there used to be never trust anybody over the age of 30. My thing is never trust anybody under the age of 30. Present company accepted, of course. Except for you, TJ. But then again, you actually have a job and here's the thing. TJ's job literally is video games because he works for Twin Galaxies. The people who actually took video games seriously when Christian groups were talking to them as tools of the devil.
Yes.
And you think I'm exaggerating, but no, they actually thought that. Pac-Man was evil.
Aww. The little communion wafer that comes to life and tries to kill us all?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, there's ghosts in it. I guess it makes it satanic. Although, actually, they're supposed to be monsters, not ghosts.
Put their lids about Doom.
Yeah, but Doom is basically just poking at these people trying to get a reaction.
Yeah. Pac-Man is the most religious game. It believes in reincarnation. Those ghosts get eaten and they just come back to life.
Yeah, they're monsters. Actually, they're not supposed to be ghosts. They turn into ghosts when you eat them. Or at least a pair of eyes. This has gone in a weird place.
Do you not remember the Pac-Man cartoon, Jonah? You're old enough.
The game came before the damn cartoon, okay?
And but the cartoon made it make ghosts, so much more sense.
How the hell do they have pink skin and feet underneath their fur?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Didn't you watch any of the little vignettes in Pac-Man? I mean, one of them, Blinky, the red one, gets his
no,
his
Jonah. Some of us weren't alive in the year before the
gets
dinosaurs.
Gets his fur caught in the nail, and it pulls off, showing he has pink skin underneath and a foot.
That's terrifying. I need to see that because I thought I knew everything about Pac-Man.
Well, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's Pac-Man is basically a revenge fantasy for bullies, for fighting against bullies. Yeah, these ghosts, monsters, whatever. These things are gonna eat you. But guess what? I ate a special pill, and now I'm gonna eat them.
Yeah, but eventually they all gang on you, gang up on you, and beat you up.
Yeah, but at least you fought back. You fought back as long as you could before you cried and vanished into nothingness. So yeah, we're not going to talk about the other
thing. I totally forgot how to do everything in Breath of the Wild. This is so sad.
We're just going to ramble off.
Well, it's like new to you then.
Are you training up for Hot Ganon?
You know me, baby. Any hottie that comes within I don't even know. I'm not.
That's how you tell I'm playing a video game.
I can't even like take a snappy comeback cue.
Are you bored?
Oh,
already,
God, boy? That was just painful.
Are you bored already?
No, I'm not bored. We started talking about Zelda.
So we just inspired you to play Zelda.
You know that's not the right thing to do around me.
Jesus. Well, at least have the original Zelda on your cell phone so you can play that.
Well, that's lame. I could play the original Zelda in my head.
Have you played Cadence of Hyrule?
Nope.
Have you ever heard of Crypt of the Necrodancer?
Yes. Is Cadence of Hyrule out yet?
Yeah, it's been
yes,
out.
Yes, I've been playing it.
Oh, see, I totally didn't know.
Yeah. So, do you know it, though?
This is what happens when, you know, my main source of information, a.k.a. Nintendo Power Magazine, goes out of business.
Yeah,
a moment of silence.
In the first issue.
A moment of silence for Nintendo Power.
Did you see that? I know, I loved having that magazine too. But did you see the Nintendo Direct where they introduced Doug Bowser and they said, oh, we're going to have Bowser present. And they had a 3D animated Bowser come up and he starts growling and he has a tie on. He's taking it super serious and he's trying to present. And then they said, you know, no, Bowser, not you. The other Bowser.
Here's the thing. You know what? I always found that amusing and sort of like...
sadist.
Stop it. In that all the characters in the games, they treat him like actors. Like, Bowser is treated as a villain, but he's not a villain. He's just an actor playing a villain for this video game, which is why they go karting with each other and all this other stuff.
That's fair.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's fair, and that's really adorable. That's like, did you know, by the way, that while Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse are actually married, in their acting careers, they each play only a dating couple.
But actually,
that's why you know, in the cartoons, they're dating. They're actually married decades ago.
I mean, I have a whole canon set up in my head as to why Bowser is the most responsible dad in all of Nintendo universe.
because he had seven kids and didn't give them up for adoption?
They are not his seven kids. They are the seven kids of another of his family members, apparently, and he just looks Croshaw, after them.
Croshaw calls him. He's not gonna make his rape baby a bastard. By the way, here's the thing, though. I think you know what? Nintendo actually predated Wreck-It Ralph in that respect, because Wreck-It Ralph was all about these are just roles that the characters are playing, you know, and that's basically what Nintendo's been doing, which explains why Mario is the villain.
I am bad guy. Just because I am bad guy does not make me bad guy.
Yeah, which is why Mario is the villain in Donkey Kong Jr. Because he's playing a villain in that game. The only time he's ever played a villain.
That's fair.
Whatever happened to Donkey Kong Jr. aside from Donkey Kong Country and aside from the kart racing games?
He's dead!
Really?
No, but it sounded good, didn't it?
Wow. Or maybe he just graduated. He's in college and, you know, he doesn't want to be in any video.
Wait, hold on. Are you talking about
Wait, no. Okay, so what happened was the original Donkey Kong is now Cranky Kong. Donkey Kong Jr. is now DK. Mm-hmm. And the Jr. is another primate.
That was Diddy Kong, anyway.
Yeah, same thing.
Really? I thought they were different.
DK gets around.
The Donkey Kong that you know as Donkey Kong from Donkey Kong Country was Donkey Kong Jr. Yep.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yep.
So the little monkey with him is actually Donkey Kong's grandson?
Yep.
Oh no, the Master Sword ran out of energy. I forgot that happens.
Or maybe granddaughter, we don't know. I mean, here's the thing, you know, maybe in Nintendo world, in order to be female, you must be wearing a bow. But I don't, well, actually, Birdo doesn't. Does Birdo wear a bow?
Yes.
Birdo's a transvestite.
I know, I'm just wondering.
But,
yes, she does.
Dixie Kong doesn't wear a bow, she wears a beret.
Okay, well, that's totally different.
It's completely different. She's a militant feminist and a very strong monkey.
Samus doesn't wear a bow, does she?
Of course not.
She has armor suits.
Unless you played the other M, in which she was just a mewling thing, which had no relation to the real Samus.
She was having an off day.
She was crying about monsters she ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the other games. Oh, how am I ever be able to do this without a man helping me?
She straight up pushed a giant behemoth into a lake of acid and then watched it burn to death.
And yet in the other end, she's like, oh, of course it was done by Team Ninja, so, you know. Team Ninja has their own issues with women. By the way, this is completely off topic.
Why stop now?
Here's the thing. Yeah. I was hearing someone, and I thought, yeah, why don't they? That Ninja Theory should do a remake of Heavenly Sword. A remaster of Heavenly Sword. I wonder if they can. Does Sony own Heavenly Sword, or does it belong to Ninja Theory?
Don't know, don't care.
I don't know.
That'd be interesting. I mean, that could be the first game that... Aside from this other game, Bleeding Edge, which apparently no one really wants. Everybody was expecting something big from Ninja Theory. Say, wait a minute, you're going to do a melee-focused Overwatch? People were disappointed with that. We'll see. I mean, you know that Microsoft's going to push the shit out of it, though. It's going to be part of Game Pass and all that because it's multiplayer. So we'll see if it... that's the good thing about Game Pass and all these other subscription services, is that it's bringing back the AA game. You know, the game that doesn't have to be a big, massive AAA game or quadruple A game, but also is an indie effort. It's one of those mid games, you know what I'm talking about, the $30 game that is better than an indie, not better, but, you know, has more production value than an indie game, but it isn't trying to be the next Halo or Call of Duty or stuff like that, you know.
I actually missed that entire price point of game.
The AA game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not even price point, more like goal. Like, a game that is well-produced, but isn't like they spent $500 million on it.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, though. You have to have that as your intention from the outset. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to budget appropriately.
by the way, that reminds me, you know, and this will be the last thing we talk about. Peter Molyneux told somebody that I know at E3 that the reason why they agreed to Microsoft is that without Microsoft's money, Psychonauts 2 is going to be a different game than it will be now with Microsoft's money. It won't be the thing that they had envisioned, you know, when they did the crowdfunding campaign. So there's that.
Yeah, because once people give you money, they think they have a say.
Well, here's the thing, you know, well, you must know this, you know, budgets, you know, you can always, you know, what they want to do and what they can do are two different things.
Oh, yeah, games are never finished.
Well, I mean, Paul's going to, Paul, just say that line, you know.
Games are never finished. There just comes a point where we have to stop working on it.
No, the other one about.
I was ready since first call.
No.
What do you want from me? I'm running out of sound bites.
A good game, you know, the good game.
And bad
game.
Yeah. No, a late game is only late until it comes out. A bad game is shit forever.
Yeah, basically.
Which is why we're glad that Animal Crossing has been delayed, so it won't be a shit game.
Are you an Animal Crossing fan, Paul?
Not really.
Okay.
I played Harvest Moon 64 back in the day. So I mean, if it's anything like that, then I could see at least why people would enjoy it, but
yeah, but
it just feels like a lot of work.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. In Animal Crossing, at least if you leave it alone for a month, when you come back, the town will be like Mad Max.
Oh, wait, however...
We can't dress our own, or we can't even put on our own shoes without you, old master.
I have, however, played Disney's Magical Worlds Parts 1 and 2.
Okay.
And, was absolutely captivated, so I hear that it's the same thing, just a reskin. And it's like, yes, I spent like 3 weeks playing it was delightful, and then I moved on with my life.
Oh, you know, it's interesting, Paul. I actually saw a piece, an article about the rise and fall of Pixie Hollow, and it made me think of you.
Aww. Email it to me.
Yeah. Anyways, we're gonna wrap this up now.
We have more news!
Yeah,
I went through all the trouble of opening the stupid document.
Yeah, well, guess what? I don't care. The news is nowhere near as... this was a shit news week because it's the week...
Fan-made Mario Royale is now in Fuego Royale after a parent cease and desist letter. Somebody tried to rip off Mario and he hit them on the head with his hammer.
They didn't rip off Mario. What they did was...
The end.
They made Mario Royale, in which you have 65 players trying to finish it was like a race. Sort of like Battle Royale, except with Super Mario.
Well, there was an interesting story I read where Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation all wrote letters to against tariffs against China. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
No.
I mean,
so this actually has to do with the
fucking asshole he is. Sorry.
Yeah, this has to do with U.S. government tariffs that were just passed in response to Iran and Syria, I do believe.
I don't know.
So there have been new.
They can't play. They're not allowed to play. Which game was it again?
League of Legends is currently banned in Iran and Syria because of U.S. sanctions on trade. It's also affecting, I mean, it sets a wildly unfun precedent for any video game developer, because this is also going to affect, there's also tariffs in effect that are going to affect imports from Japan, imports from China, and nobody is happy with that. It's going to likely increase the cost of making and buying video games exponentially.
Well, guess what? Yeah, here's the thing. Without the sanctions, you know, I wish in a normal world we had raised the price of video games to $80 by now. Because, you know, you need to pay. Here's, you know, with streaming being the future, you know, I'm wondering how that model's going to go with the big AAA titles. Because they're not going to. I don't know.
I'm not against developers making money, I am against artificial inflation. Which is exactly what this is.
I completely agree.
I'm just saying, we've been paying $60 for video games for the past, what, 10 years? And inflation-wise, it should be like $80.
Frankly, I think it's ridiculous that we're paying more than $50 for a home console title.
Yes, but that's called inflation, Paul. Wait a minute.
It's called stupidity.
You know,
It's called people not realizing that they should vote with their wallets.
I paid $84 for
It's called Home idiots War. Being completely content with a spending $75 on a six-hour first-person shooter single-player game.
In 1990, there were Nintendo games that were $80.
There were not Nintendo games that were
$80 in 1990. Come on.
There were not Nintendo games that were $80 in 1990. You have your head so far.
Oh, really? In 1984, I remember I got Ultima 4 for Christmas, and it cost $84 from Chips and Bits. And that would be $130 in today's money.
You know, I think
Look, just because you were ripped off.
Yeah, you
doesn't mean that was off. That was the selling price.
I got
price.
That for $30 or $40, not $80.
What?
The Ultima 4 when? Back in on Nintendo, it was not $80.
Not Nintendo. I'm talking about the original PC version or okay. Commodore 64 version in my case. No, that was a port that was on the Nintendo.
I'm sorry, I can't comment on what happened when Mummy Dust was young.
You know, actually, here's the thing. Ultima changed JRPGs forever. Because all those tropes you see in JRPGs right now started with the original Ultima game that was based on Ultima 3.
Yeah.
All those tropes you see, well, at least the hit point tropes and all that the other stuff, they all came from the Ultima series.
Right. Well. Anyway.
Jesus Christ! Look for our show notes again.
Well, now hold on. I did want to say one other thing. There has been like fluctuations on games throughout the industry, and there have been certain sanctions put in place throughout time. But at the same time, what is happening right now is bizarre and out of the ordinary. Not only is it artificial inflation, but okay. So full disclosure, like we know about like. It's sometimes hard to get games over from Japan to the United States based on the interest of players and the willingness of companies to pay those import or export costs. And then there's the Chinese government that also limits its citizens' uses of internet. However, I do want to make a point that like what is happening now, what happened with the U.S. doing these trade sanctions that have banned a game in Iran and Syria. It's the first time I can think of that one government has directly affected another nation's game as service to where I don't know how I feel about the United States making a decision that another country can play a game.
Well,
yeah, like why are we imposing our morality through economic means?
Oh, gee, that's never happened before.
Well, and then also the fact that it's a game as a service that's readily downloadable online. That's the weird thing to me. Like if it was just exports, yeah, I guess I could see that. But League of Legends is just something you can go on Google and then search and then download a client and then play it through your regional servers. And that's what the U.S. sanctions are shutting down, which is why people in Iran and Syria can't play on Iran and Syrian servers.
Well, get a VPN, I guess.
But that increases lag drastically. And makes the game practically unplayable.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Mueller's going to testify, and hopefully that'll just kick the boob out.
One would hope, but it is very problematic to think that one nation has control over another nation's games as service.
A bigger problem is that it feels more like the archaic and desperate grab for control over what is more and more becoming a globally focused economy.
Well,
right, we have to be able to think about when we're talking about, you know, MMOs, any online experience, even more and more mobile games that are connecting players from around the world. Whose jurisdiction, legally, financially, do these things fall under? So essentially, it's going to become a case for the formation of a world government, and people who are in charge now are not going to have it.
But here's the thing. Something scary for you. China is in the lead for developing the new internet, and we are not doing jack squat. And they are the ones who are on the forefront of upgrading the internet to a new And we're going to have to dance at their beck and now coming up, because our internet system is antiquated and it's not going to last for very much longer.
Our internet is garbage. Mm-hmm. And it amazes me how the financial chokehold that the wealthy elite in this country have had maintained over our economy in order to keep themselves in power is going to force us into, again, subservience to a foreign power, because they put their own self-interest in front of the innovation that would keep this country moving ahead as a leader of the pack.
I mean, guess what? Payback is a bitch.
Right. And what you get out of that is when there's services such as Google Stadia and Project xCloud on the way, those developers are not going to look to U.S. internet infrastructure in order to push those services. They're going to invest in China.
Because you know what this country doesn't like? It don't like infrastructure. And you know, if they don't like infrastructure for the stuff people can actually see, roads, bridges, etc., well, guess what? They really don't give a shit about stuff they can't see. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't see internet. What about internet? And then people will have the gall to be shocked when the microtransactions for basic internet services happens. They'll be shocked, I tell you, shocked. And they'll wonder what happened, and people will just – well, this is what happened, because you're an idiot. Because you're afraid of blacks, gays, and Jews, you allowed yourself to get whacked over the head with your own stupidity. Them Mexicans are coming to don't look the other way, because there's Mexicans. Don't look at what we're doing. Look over there, Mexicans.
Here's the problem, kids. When you get old, you realize that people have been fucking you in the ass without lube for decades, and you get angry, and you turn a lovely chat about video games into a political podcast.
I'm biting my tongue on that one, Paul. Anyways, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast, or drive us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. And, you know, this is supposed to be a nice, fun episode, and then just got dark really fast in the last 10 minutes.
The economy is not as recovered as everybody wants to pretend that it is.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be our escapist entertainment.
Right. Well... I mean, I'm big into esports, so it's also a business to me, and it's also something that I'm wholly invested in seeing where it goes and hoping that it goes somewhere good.
I think there's a point where you can only escape for so much, where you really do have to deal with these things, and I think we've gotten a society where we were trained not to deal with it, and now look where we are because we were not dealing with it.
You know what? This is an old concept. Bread and circuses, bread and circuses, bread and circuses.
And for those of us who aren't 10,000 years older than sand and have no idea what the hell you're talking about, would you mind translating that into millennial?
It was 2,500 years ago.
Oh.
I don't know what you mean by bread.
Bread and circuses means it's how you distract people. You give them something to eat, and then you give them entertainment, and they will not pay attention to you doing horrible stuff because they're satisfied personally with food and entertainment. Bread and circuses.
Oh, now you sound like you're making a valid point, Jonah.
Bread and circuses. I mean, I completely
agree. If you keep people fat and entertained, they're not going to notice that you're doing horrible things to their economy.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything else. Because let me tell you, you think we have an oligarchy now? Rome was oligarchy plus.
I'll show you an oligarchy.
I don't know that.
I don't even know what that means, Paul.
I don't know that programming code. Yeah, you don't.
Anyways, let's congratulate Paul for coming back to do a podcast.
Yay, Paul's Thank awesome.
You. See you in a year, Paul.
Well, I mean, maybe more often.
Maybe, I don't know. I've been running low in adulation, maybe, so I'm... So seeing the warm welcome I got, I might be back sooner.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Paul, what's it called? You can thank Scott because he was wearing the WWPS thing.
Aw, what would Paul say?
Oh, yes.
Aw. Paul would start by blaming the parents.
Scott and Paul are the Nintendo people here. Yeah,
Paul would start by blaming the parents, and then holy shit, trying to dodge this ancient relic thing. God damn it! Why is Hyrule so evil now?
I know there's so many people. It's crazy. I loved it. It felt like the most populated Zelda game. I don't know. It just felt more alive.
Watch out for crab lasers.
Oh my god, the crab lasers! I hate them.
Oh yeah.
I forgot how much I hate them.
They can snipe you from a mile away.
You have to use a shield to deflect the lasers, and you have to time it just right, and otherwise your shield is gone. You gotta go get another one.
I feel like the only person...
No, I just get all the hearts and let them hit me and hold down the run button.
I feel like
run away.
The one sober guy in a group at AA.
All you gotta know, Jonah, is beware of the crab laser.
I don't know.
Yeah. Beware of the
I
crab
don't have to
laser.
Worry about crabs.
All right.
I don't own a Switch. I don't have to worry about crabs.
Maybe let's run this. Let's run this puppy
crabs.
Into the ground.
Anyways, we will see you next week. Paul will probably not be here, but
wait, you got to do the entire bumper. You didn't do the whole.
You got to do the bumper, Jonah. Already. No, you didn't.
I did look for show notes. Oh, you can find me at Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shard.
You can find what I'm working on at partlywicked.com.
Woo-hoo.
I don't do social media. No, nobody wants to know my political opinions.
Let me ask you a question.
Nobody wants to see pictures of my LARP.
Paul, are you still doing the
I've learned this about
thing?
Myself.
Are you still
oh my god, I started LARPing this year, like 2 months ago, and I am utterly obsessed. Like, I have volunteered to help them update the rule book, I volunteered to write articles for the newspaper,
Congratulations, Paul, you
really cool.
I think I'm hiding from how miserable our world is.
Paul reached geek level 2 by LARPing.
It's not such a bad thing. I mean, the hiding part, not the bad world. The bad world is bad.
Well, here's the thing. Is there
trying to make it better somehow?
I'm curious if there's LARPing.
You know what makes it better? The fact that Domino's delivers until 2 a.m.
There you go.
Why do that, Paul? I just make my own pizza from scratch.
And the fact that it has been long enough that someone has posted the answer to all of the DLC riddles for Breath of the Wild online, so I don't have to, work all that hard.
Let me ask you a question, Paul.
I'm not looking. Like, that stuff needed to be there the first time I was exploring Hyrule. Because now I've forgotten all of that information.
Paul, are you LARPing because it's a safe way for you to do your furry stuff?
It's a safe way for me to what?
To satisfy your furry urges.
I know.
I know you're a furry, Paul.
Yeah, we're losing you, Jenna.
What?
For a rusted guardian on the eastern edge of the ruins.
And this is what's wrong with American internet.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Okay, and it's just so companies like Verizon and Comcast could, keep a stranglehold and make us pay for a shit product.
Wait, actually, here's a question for you that's 2 years in the
business. It took me a long time to become this jaded, but now that I'm here, boy, am I going to be vocal about it.
Here's a question that's been 2 years coming. Are you still watching – do you ever watch Doctor Who anymore?
Oh, he's back. Doctor Who.
Yeah, I saw all of Jodie's season.
Okay. Because I know you had this thing about Rose. I was just wondering if you're still –
Oh, I miss Rose. Why did you go and do that, Jonah? She was the best, and then they brought her back one time too many. It was so sad.
We will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Buy me dinner.
Have fun, be cool, beware crab lasers.
Beware the crab lasers. I like that one.